Hello and a very warm welcome to this podcast presented by CNBCTV18.com in association with WazirX. Influencers are no longer a homogeneous group of those with a large follower base. Their domain has expanded beyond content creation to becoming brand themselves. The emergence of the metaverse provides creators with a whole new aspect of interaction and communication with their followers and also expands their follower base. This is what makes influencer marketing in the metaverse more immersive, experiential, and practically a playground that has no limits at this point and allows all players, be it influencers or businesses, to be pioneers, innovators, and creative geniuses. Moreover, are we going to need real people behind metaverse influencers, or can they very well be just simulations? To answer these questions and many more, in this episode, I am joined by Rohit Kondaliwal, Marketing Manager WazirX, and Pranav Panpalia is founder and mentor Opera FX and OP Gaming to discuss the growing influencer marketing in Metaverse. Gentlemen, hi, and thank you so much for joining us. Rohit, let me start with you first. And, you know, just about the basic influencers first, you have followers to the tune of 40,000, 50,000, let's say 100,000 perhaps, and you become macro or micro influencers. What is your sense on the importance of this trend that we have seen, and more so when it comes for blockchain and metaverse?
Hey, thanks a lot, Manisha, for having me on the show. And what we've seen in the metaverse and in the crypto space overall is that the demand and need for an influencer is quite a lot in crypto. And but interestingly, the overall global scenario, what we've seen is in the last 2 years, overall the spend, marketing spend of companies has either remained stable or they've gone down because of the pandemic. But the allocation into digital media and the allocation into influencer marketing has increased substantially. Some reports say it's more than 50% increase since in past. So what we are seeing right now is there's increase after the pandemic. There's an increase of content consumption. There's a relocation of advertising and media budgets across platforms, not only in crypto space. There's a void in content. People certainly have found out there are 24 hours, but when you are at home, it feels like 56 hours a day. So there's a void in content that needs to be filled in. There are alternative paths to purchasing. We've discussed this on the previous show as well. The ease of purchasing and creating communities and communication and transfer of value on softwares has increased quite a bit. So all of these things combined, I think a lot of influencers found themselves in a place where their influence was very demanding, And this has just been increasing in the last few months, what we've seen in the crypto space. More so ever in the crypto space, because crypto is very loud in that matter. And it's very difficult to market something where things are so volatile. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, I was reading a report which suggests that most of the people who buy crypto or NFTs for that matter are the people who are getting much of that information from Reddit or Twitter, Instagram, YouTube or Telegram for that matter. Pranav, this question is to you. So we are looking at a lot of influencers in the market right now, and there are a lot of influencer social platforms as well, whether it's Reddit or Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Telegram, etc. How do you see the growing number of this, and what's your sense of this impact on metaverse itself?
Hi, thanks for having me as well on the show. So when in regards to like the cryptocurrency space, like something that what we are currently seeing is also like globally influencers are sort of dominating the NFT and the crypto space as well. For example, like how your Gary Vaynerchuk, who's also like an entrepreneur and an influencer in himself, has brought so much light towards what the capabilities of NFTs can be and information that influencers are bringing onto the space. So I feel like that there is definitely like a lot of positives. And in India as well, we are seeing like a new genre that's coming up, which is crypto influencers, NFT influencers, and otherwise, I feel like there's so much overlap between gaming and crypto as well. because the metaverse and gaming is also, there's so much overlap, because in a way gamers have always been used to the concept of metaverse. It's just they've been playing all of this in 2D, right? With the incoming of metaverse, VR and AR, it's just a very similar model, but more futuristic. So I think the future is bright, and influencers are playing a very big role in here.
They sure are, yes. This one is to you, Rohit. So, you know, we as crypto came in, as in the last 1 year, we've heard these concepts like creator economy, passion economy, or economy of individual monetization. Would you say all of this has opened various monetization opportunities? How would you look at brands really making the most of this, though?
Sure. I mean, see, most of the influencers before 2017, they didn't know that they're adding value, right? They were all on their social media platforms. They were called, in the houses, they were called that they're wasting times. But now what brands have figured out is true influence, in essence, is the most difficult thing to get. And brands have been trying to engage with their community since decades now, after the internet era, and I think influencers give them a chance to engage with the community, make a face, have a face, you know, and be at a position where they can really have an impact on the lives of the people using those influencers, or trying to, you know, have those influences in their kitty. So many of these influencers did not know for a long time that they were adding value. Even in crypto space, the value of a influencer in crypto is maybe even 20 times more than what it is in the other digital media space, and it keeps on increasing. The reason is because there are so many cryptocurrencies out there. Everybody wants to have just a minute of your time. And if an influencer can dedicatedly say that, you know, he's got more than 50,000 people or even 10,000 people who are their followers and who are their loyal followers who would do anything with them. So it's a build up community that they have, right? One of the most difficult things to do in the world of crypto is to build communities, and influencers really help them out there. So the price of your attention in crypto space is more than 20 times of what your price of your attention is in the IPL. So, and it keeps on increasing. It will keep on increasing as long as the VCs keep funding in money, as long as there will be, risk takers, there will be retail investors who will just keep jumping in. And it seems like for quite a long time now, this trend will stay. So it would be a very good time for anybody who's listening to this podcast to become an influencer. So,
yeah. All right. And, Rohit, would you say that it's really not about the number of followers that you have, but the quality of content that you churn? I mean, is that how you would see it?
In the crypto space, yes. So what we've seen is because most of the crypto influencers are tech heavy guys. They are not your average Joe people who are, just creating hair shampoo product advertisements on the YouTube. So they know tech stuff, right? So they find ways to get bots to your community. They find ways to have fake people, fake accounts in the place just to have a higher number, right? So what you would see is many of these influencers have maybe 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, but they have only 500 views. The reason is because they are using some subpar technology that would help them to just get subscribers. But the engagement is much lower, and the attention ratio of the viewer is much lower. So, and it turns out that people who have good communities, Bitboy Crypto and people like that, they've really managed to pull off some very, very heavy, investments from brands. For example, I'll give you an average promotion from Bitboy Crypto would cost you maybe $30,000. That's north of somewhere around 20 lakh rupees. That's quite a lot, I think, for a AMA session or for a video that you would create on YouTube. So, yeah.
Yeah. So guys, when you're following an influencer, don't look at the number, but look at the content and the engagement that the person can really give you. Pranav, this one is to you. You know, even as Metaverse is a young company and there are a lot of influencers as we're talking about, but would you say that the major influence still comes in from the legacy companies, the big brands who are onboarding, crypto and blockchain as a technology? That is what brings in a lot of credibility.
Yeah, correct. I mean, like the legacy companies bring in a lot of validation to the entire concept of metaverse. Of course, it's a very futuristic concept. It's what everyone's saying is the next big thing. But the moment a Nike, a Puma or an Adidas does something in the metaverse, it sort of legitimizes the entire concept. It makes the retail investors, the common audience sort of believe in the concept, because for a long time in India as well, there was so much conversations about is crypto safe, is crypto something that we should enter into. And the moment we saw some legitimate companies investing a huge chunk of their profits into and converting into cryptocurrencies, that's when the legitimacy comes into picture. So of course, like these legacy brands coming into the picture, investing in metaverse, buying their own lands, creating their own cities inside of metaverse, helps expedite the entire process of us entering the metaverse.
Pranav, since you touched upon that, can you share some ways that the brands can thrive in this new dynamics? I mean, we've seen companies come out and put their products on signature products as well. They've opened offices. A lot of showcasing of real estate is happening on Metaverse. How is the engagement level and what would you advise brands as they go on to this?
So I would say, like, since we're big into the gaming space, right? So how a very luxury big brand like a Gucci, right? They did their new season launch in a game called Roblox, right? And they had some of the biggest sales on virtual products of their own, and something that they had not seen in offline launches as well. So when a brand like Gucci enters Metaverse and gets such amazing results, It, of course, these guys are the first ones to sort of do it, try it. So I would recommend, like, the upcoming new startups, be it product or service based, there are tons and thousands of ways in which they can showcase their products or services inside of the metaverse. It can be very individualized. It can be very customized. The campaigns that we have seen even in influencer marketing or your old age marketing, right? There's so much scope and there's so much creativity that can come into the picture when you're marketing or creating a campaign inside of the metaverse.
Sure. Rohit, this one is to you. So how, when you look at the numbers, when you look at the kind of advent we've seen, how is the influencer marketing adapting to metaverse? Is the number huge? Because these are the influencers who are influencing brands too.
What we've seen is that in crypto space, brands are willing to pay more to the influencers. Brands are willing to pay more for the digital marketing space. Brands are more flexible. They appreciate and, you know, they respect the content that these guys are making. They are not very rigid, like in it must have been, it may be in some other spaces. And influencers are really driving the space in the crypto. There are three dimensions to these things. Right now, the conversation that a user is listening to right now on your website is listening only in sound, right? It's only one dimensional. But if it was on YouTube, it would have been two dimension because he could also hear it, right? And but what Metaverse does, or eventually we hope that it would do, is to put in another third dimension and connect really to the person that you are engaging with. In some way, this is already happening with gamers, right? So gamers have been on Twitch, on YouTube. They've been streaming a lot of, like some of these gamers are streaming for 6 hours straight in a day. And Pranav could, agree to this. Maybe he would have more background to this. But they've been engaging more with the community. The engagement ratio of the gamer is much higher, and they would be the first inhabitants of the metaverse, because they are already used to that sort of a metaverse era, where you know they are already connected in games, in various other platforms, on Discord, and some places where they are communicating with people. So it's only natural that we'll see the gaming community to build towards growing the metaverse, and they will be these young generation who would jump in and take advantage to most of these things. So most of the gamers don't know yet, but they are really apt to becoming influencers on the metaverse. It's just time that they'll realize that.
Pranav, coming on the gamers part of it, because that clearly was the first part, as has been said, that when you talk about metaverse, gamers were already there. This is just yet another big leap that we've seen in overall system. How do you look at brands making use of it? How do you look at influencers making use of it? How do you see gaming marrying into all of this?
Correct. So like Rohit correctly mentioned here, that gamers as of now do not realize the potential that they sort of weigh in the metaverse space, because they're always and already been doing what is required to be a metaverse gamer, right? They're inside of a virtual community. For example, games like Minecraft, GTA, wherein you can interact with thousands of people, you can build your own cities and interact with your audiences, your communities, right? And having that pull with millions and millions of people, they carry so much influence with their communities, and brands sort of have to realize in the coming future that so for example, right now, I'll just give you an example. I'll take names as well. We're creating a virtual fast food joint inside of a game, right? Where these gamers are going to be hungry inside the game and going to say that, hey, we're going to eat inside this game. We're going to buy this particular burger inside of the game, right? And of course, this is not three-dimensional in a way that these guys are not wearing their VR glasses as of now. But the moment metaverse sort of becomes very accessible to the Indian audience, or probably the global audience, these are the things wherein, and also there's so much upgradation in the technology as well, wherein you could feel what's happening inside the game. There's so much hardware that's coming wherein you can feel and touch and smell objects, right? So probably that sort of accessibility to the technology in hardware as well and software would allow brands to experiment way more than they could at the moment do with the current sort of resources they have. Right. And there's a new genre of, again, influencers, because there are games like Axie Infinity, and there's games like your Sandbox, wherein you can make money by just playing the game. Right. You can purchase a land, and it's like you can trade lands. So you don't have to go to Cuff Parade and like own a land and flip it to make money anymore. You can just be sitting at your computer and buying lands. And probably, let's say a celebrity lives next to your house inside of the metaverse, then your value increases. So there's like opportunities for brands, influencers, customers, your normal day people also have so much access to drive revenue, and there's such a big economy that's sitting ahead of us, which is bound to happen, but a lot of people do not have knowledge. And I'm sure like with this podcast, people are somewhat going to get aware about it.
Oh, I'm hoping a lot about it. Okay. I also want to talk about, Rohit, the existing market and the opportunities it becomes. I mean, you guys spoke about on how the existing brands like a Gucci, as Pranav also mentioned. So when it comes to existing companies, whether it's real estate or technology or gaming, or how do you see brands monetizing it? So when I say brands monetizing it, it also is about the kind of investment that you have to make in this. You spoke about on how the investments in technology online is higher and more comfortable than doing it offline. Is there a number that you can put out on this, on what kind of a growth have we really seen on this?
I think there's very recently, there's this gaming company. They raised $2 billion in, I think, Series D funding. this is what, 1.5 weeks ago, they raised $2 billion to create a gaming metaverse. So there's no shortage of money in the crypto space. And very interestingly, what we've seen, the facts that we know is metaverse as a concept has been popularized by Facebook changing its name. That is one. But what we are also seeing is other game metaverse projects, like, for example, Sandbox, or, for example, there's this eGames that raised $2 billion. But also, you know, Axie Infinity and some other projects as well. EngineCoin, they've raised quite a lot of serious money from venture capitalists. And what we are seeing is the interest of smart money is in metaverse, but they don't believe in a centralized metaverse like Facebook. This is what I think, because there's a lot of funding going on for metaverse projects, but it seems like Facebook is on the back step right now, and it truly is, because a lot of crypto people that you would talk to would end up saying that they don't feel good when any project is centralized, right? Especially projects like Facebook. Facebook and Twitter has been having, you know, this odd relationship with people who are rebellion in nature in the digital space, and crypto is the most rebellion thing I think that we've done in the history of mankind at this moment. So it is natural for the crypto community to feel threatened when centralized projects like Facebook would end up trying to monetize their database, right? They don't mind decentralized projects like Axie or for Sandbox. But now we can debate on the fact how decentralized Sandbox and Axie is, but the matter is that they like that much more than what Facebook is. And so is true with the VC money as well. So, but there's no shortage of money. If anybody would like to build a metaverse project, I know a few projects that are trying to do similar activities like Sandbox. So there's no shortage of money. There's a lot of funds available. And I think eventually what will happen is this place is going to mature enough so much that, you know, it will be a normal thing for people to just go and buy things from the metaverse, right? It will happen not for generation, elder than us. It will happen somewhat to our generation, and definitely a lot to the generation who's going to come in the future now. So, but it will be like when for the first time there was shopping as a concept came out on the internet, people thought it would never work out. Why would anybody buy online if they cannot see things, right? But it has picked up so much that the brick and mortar shops are now closing down. So this will eventually happen to brands. Many brands will understand and learn. There are a lot of legacy brands who would not understand this. I think any brand who would have a dedicated metaverse or a crypto team in their marketing team, they would surely understand the importance of such a thing, because in the end, what you're paying as a brand is the attention for, right? And there's a lot of attention and interest in the crypto space. So it will just keep on increasing.
Oh, absolutely. The times are absolutely changing, and we can see a glimpse of that already. Pranav, this one is to you. So apart from all the positives that we've spoken about, there also is this thing that you will be looking at more data that will be available for advertisers than ever before. And that perhaps can lead to sophisticated targeting as well, driving the complete new level, as we would see when it comes to the trend, the marketing, etc.
Correct. I mean, there's always pros and cons to everything, right? And I think to control this, there has to be the government intervention. There has to be policies that are being set to sort of control the larger audience's data, and how does one use and utilize that data. I think there has to be interventions. Otherwise, of course, there'll be so many touching points about every person and every individual that can be used in a wrong way as well. So I think whenever there is a new company that's coming up and that's entering the data, the metaverse space, there has to be data protection policies by the government, and audiences also have to be very careful of where they're signing up and what sort of policies and ethics and these safety nets that these companies are following and who they are signing up for?
Clearly, that there is just so many pros and cons and more pros as I see it. The world is about to change. And as Rohit said, well, some part of our generation and the next world perhaps would be looking at completely immersive experience as Metaverse catches on. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending your time with us. And that was a conversation about the growing influencer marketing in Metaverse and what it is taking shape as. Thank you so much for your time today.